Welcome to the Word, Warren. I'm joined by Justin.
Hello.
And Hannah.
Hello.
Woohoo. It's a small crew this week.
Yeah.
It's just the original three.
No special guests.
All right. We're talking about Westerns today. And this, I think, is probably going to be one of our quickest episodes.
Because all of us were like, yeah, Westerns exist. Yeah.
Totally a thing.
We have a section of them downstairs.
Before I get into defining Westerns, most of the articles that I read were, they're so specific of a genre that it's surprising that they are their own. They always get their own section in bookstores. Mm-hmm. Because they're so prolific, but they're honestly more like a subgenre because of how specific a definition there is for a Western.
You know what's interesting? I just watched Netflix did a series on pop music, mm-hmm. and they just went through every episode was a different part or genre or person or story that needed to be told. Mm-hmm. And country music was very specific. Country music has specific rules, and you have to mm-hmm. specifically do all these specific things.
Right.
Because, authenticity is the biggest thing there.
Right.
And that's interesting that, Westerns have such a hardcore definition. Maybe there's something about the West and country and,
that,
they just want to be defined in this very, very certain
specific
way.
Yeah. Right, yeah. It's
people get real up in arms over country stuff. People are very protective of the romanticized idea of what country is.
Right.
So that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. It's definitely, yeah.
So Sarah, tell us, what is a Western?
Okay. All Please. Right. A Western is basically, it's any book that is set primarily in the West. That usually means west of the Mississippi.
That's not a lot of West. I mean, we live in the West, right? We're West.
But we're Northwest.
We're Northwest. And they mostly don't include the coast as well. So it can be pretty much anything west of Mississippi, but not on the coast.
So west also of the Mississippi, but east of the Rockies.
Right. You could probably be in the Rockies, but not further west of the Rockies.
Right. You could go up to the tops of the Rockies, but you can't go.
Yeah. Where do the Rockies end? I'm not a...
They run through Washington, Oregon, and California. They run kind of through the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So are we east of the Rockies then? No, we're not.
No, we're west. No, we're east of the Rockies, I believe.
I believe that's right.
I think so. I don't know if the Rockies come all the way up here.
That's true. I think ours is a...
I think they change into a different mountain range when they get to Washington.
We have the
Washington.
Cascades, right?
Yeah.
That's our divide.
Yeah. So the Cascades blend into the Rockies.
Okay, so we would still be east of the Rockies. Yes.
Technically. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So we could set a Western here in the Tri-Cities.
I mean, my grandpa homesteaded here, right? they lived in a tent and built their house with their bare hands and farmed. And
you could write their story and just have it be a Western.
Yeah, because
all of us have hit a sagebrush with our car, right?
Every single one of us. I-90 got closed down last year because of tumbleweeds. Tumblegeddon.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Yeah. I remember Tumblegeddon. Yes.
I mean, we have it every year. In the newspaper, there'll be after one of our windstorms, someone's house will be covered in tumbleweeds.
I think the last year, though, was the worst one we've had in a long time because it just covered, they had to send out crews to remove them from the roads. I remember seeing the video where an entire semi was covered. You could just see the lights of the semi, and it was just tumbleweeds
over the top.
I think we count as Western land.
I think. Yeah, because then the next one of the main defining attributes, I guess, of a Western novel is a harsh environment.
Okay.
So whether that's a desert or a mountain range, anything that's super cold or super hot, where it's difficult to survive. That's kind of another,
I wonder if that's a metaphor or something, mm-hmm. right? The harshness of life.
Yeah, right.
Well, they like to romanticize the cowboy and
definitely.
The perseverance of the American West.
Right? Yes.
That's all right.
Yeah. And then the time period for it is also really specific. It's mostly the later half. The second half of the 19th century, usually after 1860 to 1900.
So like the American West was like 40 years. Like
40 years.
In these like three specific city blocks.
They can sometimes go further back towards like the beginning, the end of like the 18th century, but for the most part it's like the second half of the 19th century.
Huh.
For West, and it was all about, you know, cowboys and settlers and outlaws, quote unquote, taming the Wild West.
I read once that there were only like 3 gunfights in the center of a city ever, right? Like,
well, that you wasn't gotta real. Think of the guns they had.
I think about the guns they had every day.
And how impractical they were for actual gunfights.
Right.
Like, I mean, I'm sure there were some.
I mean, tell that to the Native Americans though, right? Like
But there was a lot of other factors there, though.
I know.
Like,
I actually read a whole book about that.
Like plague.
And the lack of trade routes, so they couldn't communicate to one another and warn each other about what was actually happening to them.
Yep.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Thank you, Dustin Diamond. Not Dustin Diamond. That's Screech. What is the other?
I mean, also thank you, Screech.
What's his name? Diamond. He wrote Guns, Germs, and Steel.
That's
like the point of that book.
What is that guy's name?
I don't remember.
Something Diamond. Gary Diamond. Joe Diamond.
James Diamond.
Diamond Jim. Okay, we're not.
Know. Anyway.
I'm old. All right, we're going to.
Jared Diamond.
Thank you. He went to Jared.
He would do. I want to like say, because of my Native American comment, right? Uh-huh. I am a third Native American, so those are my people. I'm not being rude. It's true, right? Like,
well, no, I mean, there's so many factors. I mean, we could, we're not a podcast that talks about these kinds of things. So
I try.
You try.
You definitely try.
We could have an entire hour-long episode talking about.
Oh.
What the West actually was and the horrors that went into
hours long,
building that. Westerns don't focus on that though,
no.
Because they're romanticizing the West. They're not telling history.
Yeah.
How do we know that? None of us have ever read a Western. Have you read Westerns?
True. No, I've never read a Western.
If Westerns actually told the history of how the West was won accurately, nobody would read them.
Mm.
That's not that's depressing fiction.
Oh man. So it would be Poe writing Westerns.
It would be Poe writing Westerns, yes. No, Poe would be way too wordy.
I would love to see like Poe though, like in chaps and with a cowboy hat on and a black horse and just riding around doffing people.
Riding through the desert with a horse with no name.
I think it would be very romantic. But
his horse would be named Lenore. What am I saying?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, for as much as that guy wrote and talked.
Annabelle Lee.
Everything had a name.
Everything had a name.
So, because it also has a very brief history because it's like, really recent. The first ever Western, like, that is recognized as a Western novel was called The Virginian by Owen Wister, and that was published in 1902.
That's the first Western
novel? That's considered the first Western novel.
In 1902.
1902, yeah. So they basically became super, like, pretty much popular, like, around 1910s, because I read in one of the articles that the U.S. Census Bureau declared the frontier, like, closed in 1900. Like, we're done taming it. It's tamed now or whatever.
Like, everybody go home. We won.
Yeah, what is that? Mission accomplished.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Being someone who lives in the desert, you'll never tame it.
No. Never.
Yeah.
Never.
Give it 5 years without human intervention and everything will be destroyed.
Give yourself 5 hours outside in the summer without a gallon of water. We'll see who tamed the desert.
No. We'll see who tamed the desert.
Yeah. Desert makes you carry water. It's the boss of you.
It is the boss of all of us.
It's the boss of
we
all
live
of
here. We know.
We get it. Yeah. And so it basically, a lot of people attribute that to like basically people kind of pining or trying to like romanticize like an era of history that is like no longer like it's done, you know.
You know what's crazy to me is romanticizing the old West, right? Because 1902, when did the Industrial Revolution and all that start? We don't know.
In the Well, I think it, I mean, it hit the East Coast first, right?
Yeah.
I feel like it was around that same time.
I was going to say, I feel like it was in the 1910s or 20s. Mm-hmm. Like,
I mean, it just, I wonder if like life was so bad that they were romanticizing being in the desert and just being beaten up by nature instead mm-hmm. of by like man and commerce. And
right, I think it had more to do with the, like the want to see the human spirit as indomitable and
right. Yeah,
the, I mean, the mm-hmm. desire for exploration and mm-hmm. new things without making it seem as awful as it actually
as it actually was, right?
Everything smells like cow and I'm sunburnt.
I mean, I like the smell of cow pastures. I grew up around a lot of cow pasture.
I don't mind the smell of cow pastures. I just don't think I'd want to smell like cow 24/7 without access to a shower.
I mean, you'd have to get real close to a cow, which they're not huge fans of, to smell like cow 24/7. I mean,
but if you're rustle, like, not rustling cows. Rustling cows is stealing cows. Don't steal cows. If you're herding cows and you're driving cows and you're taking cows from one point to another, you're in pretty close contact with those cows.
Not so much. Not so much. We moved a lot of cows. I grew up raising cows. I spent a lot of time on a horse too. I don't know if you guys know that about me.
Nice.
My dad bought property and you couldn't like go anywhere with a car because there was flooding on it. Mm-hmm. So I rode a horse. That's how I had to work the property, mm-hmm. you know, work the fence line and everything.
Smelling like horse isn't fun either.
Yeah. You do smell like horse. Right. But also, I got drunk and hugged my horse a lot. So
I mean, I can't blame you. I've hugged a lot of horses.
Yeah.
So
The day, like after riding your horse all day, brushing her down, drinking beers in the stall, you're gonna hug your horse. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. You're gonna tell her stuff about yourself that you don't tell anybody else. It's your secret horse diary. It's a thing. Nice. So I get romanticizing that part because that part is beautiful.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like a bond between the man and his horse.
It's kind of like a closeness to nature also, like, because like there's lots of frontiersmen in Westerns as well. So people who are out trapping and trading and stuff like that. And yeah, just like being out there, one with nature, I guess.
That's super. There's so much interesting stuff. I didn't think I'd have so many questions about this.
Right.
But I like, so 1902 is when the first book was documented to be the first Western.
Yeah.
People were looking for something else. In the early 1900s, that's when sci-fi started too, right? Mm. And so, is it 1900s? I don't know how that works. 1900s.
1900s, because it's 1900s are the 20th century. You know, it's
why?
Like,
why is that that way?
Because humans can't make anything make sense.
All right. Okay. So that always confuses me. Just like lots of other things on this podcast that I've admitted to not understanding that regular people do.
I really don't understand how centuries work either. Like they're like the 19th century, and I'm like, okay, is that the 1800s then, or is that the 1900s? What are we doing? You say 19 and I don't like it because I feel like it should start with a 19.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Like, in, I mean, if I'm in the 20th hour, I'm in 20. Right.
Yeah.
I'm not in 19. That's not the 20th hour.
Or is it?
I don't know.
It's because
is zero a number?
Zero. Sorry. We start on year one to 99
is the first century. Yeah.
And then 100 to 199 is the second century.
I never thought about the first century.
The first century just should not exist. That should just be called Century Zero. That should just be.
Are there any books about the first century?
I am starting a petition.
Let's find out.
To rename the centuries of the world, where the quote first century is called Century Zero, and we just go logically from there.
Right.
Yeah, or just call it the start or something, right?
Like, I like Century Zero. I think it sounds good. It sounds like very sci-fi.
I'm with it.
Zippy, very easy. Yeah.
Easy to remember. Galaxy
nice, nice Zed there. Zed.
I wonder why, because I think sci-fi and Westerns fill the same kind of want or need.
Oh, yeah, because it's like exploration and stuff. Yeah, that makes sense.
Indomitable human spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Overcoming all the aliens and all that.
Right, right.
So why did... Are there a lot of modern Western writers? It doesn't seem as prolific as sci-fi is.
So yeah, so basically it gained a lot of popularity in like the 40s and 50s. It's like height of popularity was actually in the 70s. Also mainly because of Western movies, because they were like easy to film and it was very prolific. Like they were writing a ton of Western novels and making Western films. So basically ever since like the 80s, it's been kind of on a decline. The 90s was like like a black hole of like nothing for
okay
for Westerns. And recently it's gained a little bit more popularity, but not as like traditional Westerns, because there's like the whole like Westworld thing where it's like a sci-fi with Western yeah. elements and stuff in it. So not like traditional Westerns, but they have a little bit.
Definition. I mean, if you can only write about 40 years,
right,
how much are you going to pack into that?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? Right.
That's well, very then, limiting.
Yeah. How, you know, you read a Western. I haven't read very many Westerns, mm-hmm. but I'm assuming if you wanted to write a Western, you've probably read Westerns. How are you going to tell a different story than the 8,000 that have already been written?
Yeah.
I mean, the only way is to write a Western without ever reading a Western and then not know what the no. stories are.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just go for it.
So, yeah. Yeah. And that, so that's basically why the, it's gained, it's like sort of going down in popularity, is because there's, it's like so many Westerns have been, I mean, if you look at like William Johnstone, there's like,
or mm-hmm. Zane Grey.
Or Zane Grey, there's like some of the, like, Zane Grey, I think, like wrote like at least 60 novels. William Johnstone has a series that's like in like the 200s. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so it's like, it was basically oversaturation during like the 60s and 70s. And then everybody just kind of, it just burst, the bubble burst or whatever. And so people are, yeah.
I mean, but sci-fi is super saturated in the 60s and 70s mm-hmm. with the ace doubles and all of
sci-fi
that.
Sci-fi offers such a broad,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
It's not 40 years.
Yeah. It's not 40 years, exactly.
It's not 40 years in this very small stretch of the United States yeah. where you can write about it. Mm-hmm. It's literally the entire galaxy and beyond you can write in sci-fi. Right?
That's yeah. so interesting. Yeah. Like, it also seems disrespectful to, like, current ranchers and mm-hmm. people, you know, I the only thing I have to talk about that's close to it is the Longmire series.
Yeah.
And those guys are, those are Western dudes. They live out in, right. you know, Wyoming and the plains and, you know.
So, yeah, that's why, like, so, because, like, when I was reading, doing all the research for this, it was everybody's, it's kind of surprising that Westerns get their own section, like, and when we talk about genres, mm-hmm. they really are just a subgenre of other fiction, because, like, Longmire is also a mystery because they solve crimes or whatever, but they have Western elements in them.
Yeah. I bet lots of crimes are solved in lots of traditional Western novels, mm-hmm. too.
That's true, yeah. But because it's not set, you know, in 1860,
it's so weird.
It's very weird. Puzzling. It's very strange.
It was like the country music thing. Why, like, hyper-limit yourself? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wonder what the role of tradition, how different that is in that the Western or country music culture mm-hmm. versus our culture. Because for me, tradition is, I don't know, it runs out of usefulness mm-hmm. to me, right? It, like, becomes this cage, and it's like, all right, I want to enjoy my life, and if I can just go outside of this, you know, tradition, or I can do more and enjoy more.
Right, right.
And so I would break down that wall as soon as I could, but their country music and Westerns, apparently, mm-hmm. are stuck.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it has something to do with not wanting to get, like, confused with other genres.
Mm-hmm.
Country music, for example, back in the 2000s, there was a lot of the, like, pop country crossovers.
Yeah.
And the country music fandom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm calling them. Got so mad about it.
Yeah.
But some of that music was really good.
Yeah.
And it did. It left the traditional country genre to make something new that was relevant for the time period.
Right.
But I think there is such a strong cling to tradition in country music and Western novels where they don't want to go off script. They don't want to go off the formula. That's the formula that's, it's always worked, so it'll keep on working.
Right. Yeah.
But it doesn't.
Right.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of short-sighted. I don't want to be rude to, I mean, and I'm sure, I don't be rude to anybody, really. Mm-hmm. Like, love what you love and do what you do and set the rules that you think you need. It just seems very limiting.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I bet there are a lot of, like, dudes who, because the guys who read the Westerns come in with a list, you know? They know what they want. They know what they've read, and they're limited. You can tell that they're mm-hmm. limited because mm-hmm. they have 5 books that they can buy to be happy.
Right.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. Since it's died mm-hmm. out, because it has such stringent, this is what you have to do to be considered a Western, nobody wants to write it anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Which means that the genre itself is kind of dying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, it's unfortunate. There mm-hmm. there should be more people writing. I would love to see an influx of Westerns, but told from other perspectives.
Right.
Like, yeah. I would love to hear about the Wild West, not from a cowboy.
Right.
Would that be considered a Western?
Yeah, as long as it's set in the 1860s in the West, between the Mississippi and the Rockies, you know,
and in the United States. Does it have to be United States?
I guess
most of them are.
I feel like most of them are. I don't know of. Yeah.
But I think because the United States was kind of, I think Canada might have had some cow ranchers and stuff like that. But for the most part, the whole explosion of cowboys and the Wild West and all that was a very American specific instance in history.
Hmm.
It's not something. There's always been cow herders. There's always been ranchers globally. But, like, the Wild West specific was a very American thing that happened. And it didn't really have the same impact anywhere else.
Right. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
It makes me wonder.
I think it was.
Is the American experience actually unique? Or did we just build it into this unique thing?
I think we romanticized it into a unique thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, I mean, you can only herd cows so many ways.
Right.
There's only so many kinds of land that they can thrive on.
And there's going to be outlaws everywhere. There's going to be...
Yeah, you know. The Wild West didn't make outlaws. I'm doing gun.
There was everywhere where colonization happened, there was a displacement of indigenous peoples.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a wholly American experience. It happened globally.
Right.
But
we just painted it with a brush.
Taming of the West and the claiming of land for America.
We kind of just like grabbed on and we're like, no, it's an American thing.
It's an American ideal. I cannot think of any of the Westerns that I've ever shelved or seen the backs of. I cannot think of a single one that was not set in America.
Yeah. There's a whole like...
Even when I was trying to do my research and reading up on a few like popular like titles and stuff in it, they all seemed for the most part like even more Southern. It was like...
Texas.
Like Southwest, like Texas and New Mexico and all those areas. But like, I mean, with a little bit of like Montana and whatever, but yeah.
A little bit. Montana's a little highfalutin.
Yeah.
All at the top of the country.
Yeah, right.
Who they think they are.
Yeah, yeah.
They're almost Canada.
I think that speaks to a...
I mean, come on.
You stupid big sky.
Okay, Montana.
Calm down.
Out there to all our Montana fans. I didn't mean...
I've been to Montana a bunch of times. The sky there is the most beautiful thing.
It's so beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys got it.
I totally, like, my dad loves Western movies. So, like, I've watched so many Western movies. And, like, there's one that's just called Big Sky Country that's set in Montana. And, yeah, like, it's, like, the most cinematic. And it's obviously about ranchers and whatever. I don't know what it was actually about. But, like, I also love Western movies because they're, like, it's like lots of cinematic shots of the landscape and the sky is gorgeous. And then like guys on horses doing tricks, you know, and like, and those are always cool. So it's like that guy just like, jumped off his horse and then back on his horse while it's running or whatever. I don't know.
Only in America.
Right. Yeah.
Right. We're the only people that know how to rope cattle.
We made cows. We invented them.
We invented cows.
Okay. So that's basically what I have for all of that. I've read a few novels that I would be considered like Western adjacent, I guess, because I've read like sci-fi and fantasy novels that have Western elements to them.
Okay.
But I've never read a traditional like Western novel.
There are space Westerns, right? Isn't that like a genre of sci-fi?
Yeah. Cause like, I mean, yeah, if you think about like Firefly,
it's
basically a space Western. And there's a whole series of novels now about it.
Best space Western.
Yeah. It's really good.
Cowboy Bebop was a space Western.
Oh, Cowboy Bebop totally. Was definitely a space Western.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
I mean, they call him Space Cowboy.
Space Cowboy. I forgot to look up the name of a book that I read that was really good, and it was like it was set in the 1860s in the West, but there was magic not too far west though. I'm pretty sure it was like mainly Texas, by an author named Laura Ann Gilman, but there's magic in it, so you know,
so it's not a Western.
Yeah,
it's a fantasy. Mm-hmm. I would love to read some Western novels that just are wizards with guns.
Wizards with guns.
Magic guns.
Oh, then you would probably like this.
Okay.
It's called Silver on the Road.
Ah, nice.
And it's part of her The Devil's West series.
Okay.
And it was really good because it follows this girl who's, she like has magical powers. The magic is really interesting because, and I couldn't never really figure out how it worked, but I also only read the first book of the series. And so it was like lots of teasing about like, anyway. So she gets hired by the devil, basically. She just calls him boss. And she's supposed to like patrol his territory in the West to make sure that everything, you know, is going however he wants it to be going.
Everything's all devilish.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, and he hires this other guy to help her out because she's never been out on the road before. She grew up in, she was raised in a brothel. And then she's never been outside of this little town that she lives in. And so he hires this gunslinger guy to take her around the territory and like just check on things, I guess. Really interesting stuff. Like when, I don't know, they come to a crossroads. And so he has to throw a bit of silver like into the crossroads because you don't want to approach a crossroads. And then a monster blows up out of the ground and attacks them or whatever. And then like they meet a wizard on the road too. It's like, and the guy's like, no, we don't want to talk to this guy. He's a wizard. He's a magician. Like, don't talk to him. And she's like talking to him or whatever. He's like, don't do that. And then the wizard gets so angry at them about some dumb thing that she said.
Wizards are touchy.
They're really touchy. That he's like, he decides to summon a demon to like kill them, but then it just eats him and he dies.
He failed. He like, failed his save. If we were playing D&D, he failed his charisma save because I know that spell. Yeah.
The wizards always feel really like good. They're like overcompensating.
Yeah,
or something. Is that like a?
Yeah, no, I think it's they think too highly of themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Because you got to do a lot of study to become a wizard. So
back when reading wasn't a thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So. Back when they were inventing cows.
Yeah, wizards did invent cows. Actually,
that makes sense.
That's what happened. Sense. That's why we don't have wizards in westerns because people don't want to admit that wizards invented cows.
Invented cows. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wizard gate. Yeah.
Suppressing the truth.
See, Hannah's being political this
time. Yeah,
just wanted to note that for the ear viewers.
Listen, really, what I'm trying to do is prevent us from having one of those episodes where we just hear the like, FBI, open up.
I bet we'd gain viewers.
And then, there's never an episode again. Nobody knows what happened.
All the episodes will be over one of those jail phones. I've had lots of time to read, guys.
Yeah, I've been reading so many things.
According to my parole officer, I'm not allowed to talk about this.
Okay, so since I don't have any recommendations for the Westerns.
I think that was a good recommendation.
I think that was a good recommendation. Okay. If people like Westerns, but they are running out of things to read, perhaps.
Maybe
they'll give it a shot.
But I did also read an article on a website called The Art of Manliness.
Mm-hmm. I know that website.
I don't know very much about it, but I read an article all about Westerns and from them, and it was a good article. So, and they had a list of recommendations at the end of it, so I figured I'd give their top three at least,
We can give some recommendations.
Yeah.
Their top three were, The Log of a Cowboy by Andy Adams, which is basically a fictionalized account of a cattle drive loosely based on the author's own life.
So like a written log, not wooden log.
Right. Got it.
I was torn at the beginning.
He just carries around a log.
It's his best friend.
Who knows what they're doing? What is scarce in the desert?
It's Blank Senior.
I got that log song from Ren and Stimpy in my head.
Oh, no.
Lord.
All right. So the written log of...
The written log of a cowboy, yes. Riders of the Purple Sage by Zane Grey. And that's about a lady named Jane Witherstein, who is out west. She gets a marriage proposal from a Mormon fundamentalist, which she refuses. And then it causes a bunch of problems. So she has to hire her friend, Byrne Ventners, and a mysterious gunman named Lassiter to help her out.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I can't hear anybody with the name Lassiter and not think of Detective Lassiter from Psych.
Psych.
Oh,
yeah, me same.
So 100%. So like when you're like in a mysterious gunman named Lassiter, and that was who I saw. And I was like, I just saw Lassiter in a cowboy hat, and I was like, oh no.
Every time I hear Lassiter, I think that that's who the character is named after. So that he must be named after that guy. He must be named after that guy. Oh. I love that guy.
He's amazing.
I have maybe watched like one episode of Psych.
I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah.
I'm not mad.
Just disappointed. It's worse.
I'm not talking to you.
Okay, and the last one was The Oxbow Incident by Walter Van Tilburg Clark. And that one seems like a fairly generic like Western. It's like missing cattle, a bunch of angry townsfolk. You know, cattle rustling and there's a battle between the two groups of townsfolk. One of them wants to wait for the law to come in and handle it, but the other want to, you know, form a posse and get some vigilante justice.
I mean, the Old West, vigilante justice.
That's the only way to go.
Maybe that's why people like the romanticized Old West so much. Mm-hmm. Taking the law into your own hands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's scary. Counterproductive to society. So, but it was all like a accurate lie, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, there weren't that many
vigilantes.
And there weren't that many gunfights.
No, there was a lot of like cattle rustling. I mean, that obviously happened. That's why people brand their cattle.
Yeah.
Like, that's where that came from, was to prevent cattle rustling. But it wasn't nearly as lawless and, you know.
I mean, if there's something to steal, people are going to steal it. But, there weren't, any, documents about who you were. So you could just go, 5 miles east and then change your name and be a different guy.
Yeah,
isn't that what, H.H. Holmes did, right?
Yeah.
That was much later. It's
I mean, that's why this is a branch off of Westerns, but that's why up until the 50s and 60s, there was such a prolific amount of serial killers.
Right.
You just could.
Because
you could just move and.
Because we didn't have the kind of tracking and DNA technology and stuff like that we do now. So people could just literally just leave and be like, yep, going somewhere else now.
Getting, you know, the heat's getting a little too, you know.
Millennials just killed the serial killer industry, is what I'm saying.
Industry. All right. What is the product? It's like big garbage bag and bleach.
Yeah.
The shovel manufacturers.
What they don't want you to know.
Yeah. Those books. Oh my gosh. Yeah. All right.
All right. So I guess, I don't know if you guys want to mention, do you have any recommendations or anything Western related? I don't know. Yeah.
I am still going with the closest things to Westerns that I've ever read are some of the American Girl series then Holes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which isn't actually a Western, but it
flashes back to
the Old West, mm-hmm. and there's actually an underlying Western story in there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, kind of, but it's not an actual Western.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. But it's a really good book, and everyone should read it.
Okay. So I'm going to get to use the word iconoclast. Is that what that is? Right? Where I'm bucking traditions. So I think Longmire is a Western.
Okay.
It's very Western. It's very cowboy. Everybody's got a cowboy hat. They're always picking up their cowboy hats after fights.
Right. Yeah.
That's the definition of a Western to me. It's like, oh, I got to get my cowboy hat. You know, I don't know why. But it's very Western. There's cattle. There's oil.
Hmm? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Would Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman be considered a Western?
Oh. I would, yeah. I mean, it's a frontier town. I don't remember what the year setting was, but it seems like that would be.
Mm.
It seems like. Are there Dr. Quinn books?
I believe so.
Ooh. Mm. I watched that when I was a kid.
I can't remember if they're books. I feel like they did a book series based off the show. Mm-hmm.
Which would be all right with me.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the show was based off a book. I think the books were based off the show.
Right, yeah.
But
do you think they could make modern Westerns now? Not to be too political, but mm-hmm. with how things have changed and with what they're able to do. You can't just paint Native Americans with a bad guy brush right now.
I think that they could do Western adjacent. I think mm-hmm. they could still do shows or books about life on a cattle farm or rural America or stuff like that. And still have some of the feels of a Western, but I don't think that you could do a Western in modern America.
Yeah,
right. Just the formula that a lot of Westerns have is problematic now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've grown so much as a society and as a people that I don't think that you can just go in to the formula of a Western and be like, well, this is how this entire group of people acts.
Right. No. Yeah.
And maybe, you know, I have never read a Western, so maybe I'm also judging it unfairly, right? Because I assume Westerns are it's like Native Americans are the bad guys, right? Mormons now are the bad guys.
Mormons, yeah.
And Mexicans.
Every that's what I'm assuming, Western though. That I've ever held in my hands, because I have never read an entire Western.
Yeah.
But every time that I've read the back of a Western, it's always trying to save the day, save the cattle ranch, and then also fighting the Indian threat and that kind of stuff on the back of the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that is part of, trying not to get too political, part of the push of Westerns at the time that they were popular was to make it seem like the colonization of the West was a good thing.
Right.
Yeah. Do you think that was intentional, or do you think that, like,
I think
one guy bought into the idea and started selling it? And then,
I think it's more that. I think it's more people believed that what they were being told of the heroic ranchers and cowboys going out and taking the land and, you know, winning the war and, quote, helping, unquote.
Double quote that.
Quote, helping the natives become more civilized.
Right. Yeah.
But that's part of the formula of a Western.
Yeah.
The times where any Western that I've seen that has had indigenous people as main characters, as good guys, has always been put around the idea of, like, the white savior, the like one white guy that gets raised by the Indians or you know, gets dances with wolves.
Oof.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
That kind of formula. And I don't think Westerns would work in the climate that we have today.
Right.
I don't think you could do it.
Yeah.
You would have to take you could still set it the same. You could still put it in the time period, all of that, but you would have to tell it differently.
Yeah. I would love to read a story like that.
Also, honestly, historically, because I was doing research on this a long time ago, not recently, but there were more African American and Mexican cowboys than there were white cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
That was a romanticized thing.
Right.
I almost brought that up because there's a deep, like, Mexican cowboy culture.
Yeah.
And they still have, like, their traveling rodeos and all kinds of. I mean, that's deep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Culture.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And a wonderful one.
A beautiful one. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I get, like, not wanting to read a book that, like, says, hey, this is how you ended up in this place and every part of that is bad, right? Like,
no.
You know.
I think Westerns are a mirror of the time that they were written.
Mm.
I think all books are that. Books at their core, when you look at, like, the core of what made the story, reflect the time and the people they were written by. And I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with those books existing.
Yeah.
As long as we keep moving forward.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I'd love to see, like, a LGBT, right? Like, Western series. Or, like, a series of,
I'd love to see one with just, like, a bunch of Hispanic cowboys. Like,
yeah,
I would
exactly.
love to read that Western.
Exactly. I bet that would be.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no. Go.
That's totally to draw it back to last week's episode about romance. Because if you are looking for book genre or a book story plot that you can't find in, like, a traditional whatever genre you read in, you should look in romance, because oftentimes publishers of romance are willing to go with, like, quote unquote weird like storylines. So you get a lot of LGBTQ cowboy stories in romance.
Really?
Yeah. Ah. And you get a lot of, like, I don't know, just, like, obviously because there's so many, like, fantasy stuff in there too. You get, like, werewolves and vampires and all that. So you can pretty much get any weird niche, like, storyline that you're looking for in a romance.
Because I'd like to read a werewolf Western too.
That'd be awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
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 That'd be really good.
Yeah. 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 Very, like, symbolic of nature and.
Oh, yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah. So.
Would the Dark Tower series by Stephen King.
I almost asked that too.
Yes.
Be considered a Western?
Well, that is Stephen King's version of a Western.
Okay.
So it's because obviously it's set on a different plane of existence or something in a Western, like, harsh desert.
Like a sci-fi horror Western.
Western, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. If you like sci-fi and you like horror and you want to read a Western, go pick up the Dark Tower series.
Dark Tower series, yeah. Okay.
There, I have a recommendation.
Hey, none of us have recommended
an actual Western. No, I'm sorry.
I should read a Western. I wonder.
I even picked up one by a local author, actually, called The Bad Man by Walt Posen. But then I never started reading it. I was like, I'm going to read this specifically for the podcast.
Yeah.
And then I didn't do it.
I feel like there's in reading, right? Like as soon as you set a goal, like something. Right. I've never been able to, like, I'm going to do this. Maybe like for third grade book club, summer club, right?
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, I've never, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Every book I buy, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited I have this. Sits
for years. For so long, yeah.
It is the highlight of my life. And then I don't ever read it. I just know that I have that knowledge.
Right.
In proximity.
It's whenever you're ready for it. It's there. So then let's move on. I will just mention that we are meeting for book club now. So if anybody's listening to this on the 6th, come to book club. You probably won't have time to finish reading. Although we did pick a really short novel this time because we had so few. We only had like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. To prepare for it. So it's called The Impossible Resurrection of Grief by Octavia Cade. And I was like, it sounds really good. It's like a techno thriller, like genetic engineering, like sci-fi novel. And it's by a really small press out of Canada that I forget the name of the publishing company, but it has like a gorgeous front cover of it. It's all terrifying, but gorgeous.
Are you guys still posting book club stuff on the website, like meeting and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Even if you don't make the book club this month, they'll be voting on a new book very soon thereafter.
Yeah. So the poll will go up on the Facebook group page, and then we'll announce the winner on all the other social media platforms and our website. So
cool. What have you guys been reading?
Oh, yeah. Not much, honestly. I was reading a couple more short stories from the Writers of the Future, because I'm still like, I just pick and choose ones out of there. So and I'm reading technically 3 different volumes of it, and I'll just like pick one up and
it's an anthology.
And that's basically just some short stories and stuff like that.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I like that. It's like watching a short episode. I have like when I can't pick something to watch, I put on Mr. Bean, right? And I just watch one episode, and it gives me that little bit of like, I get to watch something, I get to laugh because it's Mr. Bean. And then after that 20 minutes, it's over, and I can just move on with my life and do other stuff. Yeah. Right now, I'm reading a lot of self-help. I've been having a hard time lately. And so I've been digging real deep and, you know, find your worth and all that.
And then sometimes you need those. Those books are good.
Yeah. When I hit a low spot, I mean, books are what help me.
Right.
If I'm low, if things are hard, there's a book about it. Mm-hmm. Right. And you can look up like what you're feeling and there'll be like a scientific term. And then, you know, I got real into practical reasoning and because I get frustrated. I get frustrated with people. I don't try to be a jerk. I just get frustrated.
Sure.
And I have, I think, really strong practical reasoning. I'm very analytical. And I both of you guys know, right? If you give a mouse a cookie thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I say it all the time. I track things through and I think things really deeply through. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I get frustrated when people don't. But I learned the term for what I get frustrated with, which is practical reasoning. And so I was looking deeper into it. Maybe I can help the people around me and maybe I can understand, you know, the tool itself better. Right. And so some self-worth stuff, some practical reasoning stuff, some system thinking stuff, which is tied to practical reasoning.
New terms for me.
Every time I look into whatever is happening to me, whatever tragedy I'm going through that is self-inflicted, I find a new term and I find a new way to, you know, it's that search, that journey to always be better.
Yeah.
Because life's hard. And I did listen to a really great little short story the other day called Brackish. It's an Audible original.
I was up here while you were listening to it. I was editing another podcast. And so I only caught bits and pieces in between, like waiting for stuff to buffer. Amazing. Amazing story.
It's a lady goes on a vacation with her family in Florida. And it's just a train wreck. And she's writing a Yelp review for the hotel. And it's Christina Applegate. And she's just on fire.
Nice.
It's great.
Nice.
It was a lot of fun. That's what I'm reading in red.
I actually finished a book.
Yay!
I'm so excited, right? I don't do it often. I finished reading Hollow Kingdom.
Oh, that's right. Oh, God, it's so good.
And it was amazing. And I highly recommend it to anybody that likes zombie-esque books.
Is that the book you finished and then automatically handed to your roommate?
Yes, that's the one.
And said, read this right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I finished it. And then as soon as I saw my roommate, I just went, read that book.
Right now. Just sit down.
Yeah. It's, I think we talked about it before, but it's it's the zombie apocalypse, but told from the perspective of a domesticated crow. Okay. And it's one of the few books that I've ever read that's told from the perspective of an animal that feels like it's from the perspective of an animal and not a person.
Ooh.
They did such a good job at explaining things well enough to be understood, but still different enough that you can tell that it's this animal trying to reason out what this thing is. It's fabulous.
Yeah, it was so good.
So good.
I'm going to have to read it. I keep hearing about it, but not like directly to me. Nobody's like recommended it to me, I don't think.
Yeah. I will throw out there for people who maybe, you know, I love animals. I adore animals. I hate books where animals die, but this is a zombie apocalypse book and it's told from the perspective of animals. So be prepared.
Be prepared. Yes. Be prepared. Yeah.
That's like my
You can
one.
Never be totally prepared, but
you can never be totally
try to
prepared.
Be
but
a little
like,
bit aware. Yeah. Trigger warning and all that. It's
What is that
it's
website?
Does
the dog die?
Oh my gosh. I mean, considering that this book is talking about a lot of domesticated pets.
Yeah. There's a, unfortunately, yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Really I mean, it's a book, right?
Yeah. But it's a book and it's amazing and it's written so well. And apparently there's a sequel
There's a sequel coming out late in August. So, because I think I've mentioned it. I think I mentioned it on a couple of the earlier episodes because I was reading it a few months back. And so, it's so good. And yeah,
I'm really waiting for the new drop. August 21st, guys. Get a calendar. Write it down. Set an alarm.
24th. Also 24th.
20, was it the 24th?
The 24th, yeah.
24th, guys. I just said a random number because I'm not a person who knows things.
Does anybody have a plot point for this week? I didn't have any. I couldn't come up with anything.
I couldn't either.
Okay. I'll have to ask Katie. I know she has one.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't remember. All right. I'll give you what I remember of it. And maybe next time I can clarify if anybody can't find
Perfect.
It. But she, when I first started working at Adventures, she came up to me and said, hey, if you ever see a book about this, please let me know. I've been looking for it since I was like 13.
Okay.
So all she remembers is that the cover had, it was like a fantasy book. And so it had the lady in like the Renaissance kind of gown riding a horse. Really generic, right? The story is about this lady who, she's a queen and her husband dies. So she has to take over running the kingdom. But she also has magic powers that she has to keep hidden. Because it's like mages are seen as less than human in there. And so they're not allowed to hold offices of political power and stuff like that. But her magic gifts help her with her path to become like the queen, like to rule the kingdom. And she has to like keep it really secret and all that stuff. And that's what I remember of her explanation. But she said it was a really good story and kind of like a woman power story kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Anyway. No, that's good.
Westerns.
That's
we should
good.
All read them, I guess. We should. Yeah. Have mm-hmm. prepared better?
If, probably. If, probably. I'm sorry, y'all.
Yeah. I never prepare, so I feel the same bad I always do.
If you're listening to this episode and you love Westerns, drop us a comment. Tell us what your favorite Westerns are.
Yeah,
let us know what we should read.
Yeah.
Because, man, none of us have read
Westerns. None of us have read a Western,
We were like, hey, do we want to talk about Westerns? And all of us were like,
we probably should.
Yeah. They have their own section.
They have their own section, so.
A whole section.
There's a lot of them. Well, great. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to The Word Warren on AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store or their virtual storefronts hosted by bookshop.org and libro.fm. Physical, digital, or audio, Adventures Underground has you covered. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/ADV Underground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows and soon many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.